You are listening to Everywhere You Are, a podcast produced by the Dawson Women's Ministry. At Dawson, we recognize that women's ministry is not a class or a club you join. Ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building, and it's not limited by life stages or circumstances. Rather, ministry is living a life of service everywhere you are. This podcast seeks to encourage you, everywhere you are, in the laundry room, driving carpool, at work, preparing a meal, or exercising. We believe God calls each of us to be ministers at all times in all places. Welcome to Everywhere You Are.
We have a treat in this episode when we hear from Rachel and Beth Kaiser, mother and daughter, and they're going to give us a unique perspective on their journey of faith through Rachel's health issues over the last 10 years. Enjoy. Well, welcome to Everywhere You Are. I'm Rachel Langston, your host. And on this episode, our guests are Beth Kaiser and Rachel Kaiser. This season on the podcast, we've been talking about the invitations of Jesus, and we've been looking specifically at three invitations. The first one is the invitation to rest. The second one is the invitation to discipleship. And the third is the invitation to abide in Jesus. So we'll get more into that conversation in a minute. But first, Beth, tell us where you are today.
Beth Kaiser. I'm married to my husband, Tim. We have three children, Sarah, Emily, and Rachel. Sarah and Emily are married. Sarah's married to a wonderful man, Forrest Hyde, and Emily's married to a wonderful young man, Grant Logston. And Rachel is finishing up her master's degree. I teach math at Vestavia Hills High School. We have a dog who thinks he runs the show now that nobody lives with us anymore.
Well, our cat runs our house, so I understand that. All right, Rachel, where are you today?
I am actually all the way out in California, so very far from home. Born and raised in Birmingham, graduated from Vestavia High School and then went to Alabama and got my bachelor's degree in early childhood elementary education. And now I'm pursuing my master's to be a child life specialist. So a child life specialist supports coping and normalization within the hospital. So we get to do a lot of just talking and education. So it really takes my passion of education and my passion for healthcare due to my history and getting to really pursue with those kiddos.
So when we think about invitations of Jesus, there's certainly lots of opportunities for us to see in scripture where he invited people to be with him and to listen to him and to learn from him. And this idea of the invitation to rest, what does that look like in your life?
The real question is, when do I not worry about something? So the resting is definitely one of my harder things that I do with. But so grew up in a very faithful household, and I've never really encountered a situation where we weren't in a faithful household. Everyone in my family, even extended family, believed in Jesus. So I grew up in that shelter. And this summer, I really had a big encounter, which worry, because I had a lot of health issues in college to the point where they did a big old procedure and took some organs out, and that was supposed to be the fix. I was going to be left with some health issues, but you know what? Those health issues, it was the lesser of two evils is the way we describe it. So we took the lesser of two evils, and this summer, everything kind of came crashing down. It derailed all my plans that I had set up that I thought were so wonderful, and it really was an invitation just to surrender and rest and be like, okay, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's next. I don't know what to do. I give up. I'm so anxious. I'm going to all these different doctor's appointments. We're not fixing the issue. And it wasn't through December where hospitalized for 2 weeks where we've got a semi-plan, but I was like, I leave in 2 weeks to go to California. We've got to get this together. So it was definitely an anxiety-filled time and trying to find opportunities to rest. And it really was no other option than to surrender myself and my worries, because it definitely was a time of grief. It was really grieving the fact that I'd gone through so much and it was continuing when I thought it would be ending, when we were what felt like the track to be successful and finally be able to branch out on my own and be successful and not worry. I definitely, thinking about the dynamic with my parents, I'm definitely more reliant on them, or were or was more reliant on them than I would say a typical 24-year-old, just because doctor's appointments, it's a lot to manage and figuring out how we branch off and figuring out that new dynamic and finding a way to rest within Jesus when this came up, because they couldn't fix it. There was nothing they could do, and there was nothing I could do. It was really just letting the Lord help heal me, helping find the right medications, to leading me through that, figuring out what doctors to go to, and really relying just on the Lord and be like, I don't know what to do. Just please help guide me to make the correct decisions, and surrendering, which is not something I'm good at, because I am definitely one of those control freaks.
Rachel had been sick for a while, and we knew that she had to go to California and she was feeling really bad. And we were on the way to the ER and we had to decide which ER to go to. And, you know, we were hoping to not be there forever, but we didn't exactly know where to go. And so we were praying, and we prayed, and we just said, Lord, send us somebody that will know what to do. Like, send us somebody, send a doctor, a nurse, somebody that has an idea that we haven't tried before, something that we can do, because she's supposed to be in California in, you know, like in 32 days, we're supposed to leave for California. And so we were funny, but we walked into the ER and we were doing the whole spiel, you know, we get back to the back, the doctor comes in and he's taking her history, and he goes, have you ever thought about, and he brings up this procedure that we had never done. And sure enough, and I was super anxious about the thing. I was really probably more anxious than Rachel. Rachel embraced it a lot quicker. Anyway, they did this new thing, and I don't know why I asked for that, right? But I was still anxious about it. Anyway, what I thought or was worried about might not be great turned into have been a really, really positive step forward for Rachel, and has enabled her to manage some things that had been unmanageable. So I think that God just provided for us. And then from that, as we moved her to California, and we just began to see door after door open, and things happened that we didn't know about, that we were unexpected. My friend, Susan Logston, met a lady this summer at a wedding, and she lives in Fresno. And so they connected us. And when we got out there, they asked us to come over for dinner. And it has just been a real blessing. She's invited Rachel to join a Bible study for young women at her house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, you know, just those kind of doors just opened up, and just lots of things that we've seen where before we even knew to call, God answered. You know, he says, before you call, I will answer you. And so he just provided for Rachel in so many different ways. Before we even knew we needed it, he was introducing Susan. And, and you know, before we ever knew we needed that, he had provided.
The furthest I'd ever been away from home, like without my parents, because when we went to Charleston for the surgery, they were with me. So the furthest I'd ever been away was an hour, because that's where the University of Alabama is. It's an hour away. And so right. It was a big transition. And just being like, I went to Brad and recommended a church out here. And so I went there, and it actually was a really big blessing, because from there I met some girls that are really nice. I joined a book club, and like, it's just a really good, faithful community that I didn't know was there, because I've been having a really hard week from work, because I just didn't know anybody and I needed just some social interaction. So I just, obviously I was going to go to church, and I was just praying that someone would talk to me, and it ended up being a lot more than someone talking to me. I got invited to a book club, and it was just such the biggest blessing that I didn't know I needed. Well, I can now. Like, they gave me their numbers, and I get to have coffee with one of the girls that I'm going to be in the Bible study with. And so like, resting on that, because again, I am an anxious person. And like, the verse we use is, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and earth. That's the verse I'll repeat to myself when I'm anxious. And it's called breath prayers. And so you breathe out with one verse, breathe in for the next like stanza, and just go in and out. And that's how I kind of collect myself. And it really is, the maker of heaven and universe made a way for me out here in a place I never thought I would end up.
It's one thing to be brave enough to move across the country with no health issues, but to have the added, I guess, burden of whatever your health issues are even adds another element of resting in Christ. You said something early on about your parents couldn't fix it.
And so, Beth, I'm curious about your how you rest in Christ when it is something like that that you can't.
Sweet Pea over there has been teaching us that lesson since she was in the 10th grade, approaching 10 years of health issues that we can't fix. Mm-hmm. And it's been tough. I'm a reader. I read everything I could get my hands on. I read
any medical research journals, article.
I'll read. I mean, whatever I can find that I think might help her, I will read, you know, books, articles, whatever. I read it. And so I'm always checking those kind of things and looking for things. So for me to be able to rest in Christ has really grown exponentially. By the time she got ready to leave, I mean, we've been doing this for 10 years now, so it's been a long process.
Right.
Right at first, when you found out your child has a chronic illness and one that is life altering, you know, it takes up like so much brain space. And you're thinking about it, like you find yourself thinking about it when you're washing the dishes. It is just constantly running in the background. You know, it's like the tab is always open. Over time, I just would pray for Rachel every day, you know, pray for her multiple times a day. But over time, God has opened doors. And as you see God be faithful, it becomes easier to rest in him. When she moved to California, I think people thought I would be very anxious about that. But God really gave me a peace that he put her right where she needs to be. And if he put her there, he is going to provide for her there. I don't have to worry about that, that I can see him work in her life and be faithful to her, and I know he's going to be faithful because he always has been faithful.
You've probably been more restful than I have. This summer really like challenged my faith. It was not a restful time for me because I was not only grieving, I was angry. I have ulcerative colitis along with like a whole slew of things, and I was taken off the medication that had controlled it for a really long time, and it came back in a roaring flare, and it offset a complication I experienced from the surgery, and it made the fall very difficult to finish classes doing all this. She honestly has been much more faithful, and it was a good example, but it was also frustrating to be like, how are you so faithful? I was just really, really in that mindset of just negative world. I really do think it was Satan coming in to be like, you were doing too good, girl. And so I just was so upset that it could happen again. Pastor David did a sermon long ago about Ephesians that we're not promised anything good. We're not promised because we're Christians that our life is going to be restful and peaceful. It's kind of the opposite, that we'll face the challenges. And it was seeing my mom continually be not only be a sounding board for me to like tell my frustrations to her, and she continually point me back to Christ, which was really thing, because I don't think I would have been as pointed back as quickly if I had been on my own, because I was just so tired.
Well, I just kept telling her, what I kept thinking was that we knew God had opened these doors to get into this program. They only took 3 students the time that she interviewed for this. And so I kept telling her, if God put you there, again, it's just this idea that if God opens the door, then we walk through it. And we see what God has for us. And even her time in California, we've talked about that she may go out there and it may be everything that she thinks it's going to be. And God may be confirming that this is where he wants her to be. Or it may be that she goes out there and God confirms that she doesn't need to be there. We can't see those futures, but we can know that he's going to take care of her and he's going to grow her up. And take care of has a different meaning for me than it used to. Like she said, it doesn't mean it's all going to be roses and rainbows, right? Takes care of us in that wherever we are, he is there. We could talk about this forever, but I know when she was in Charleston and the night of her surgery, it was during COVID, so they would only let one of us stay, and God bless him, he let me stay. I guess he knew I would like lose it if I had to leave. So he let me stay, and he went to the hotel, and the nurse did not sit down. She stood in front of the heart monitor all night long, and her heart was just jumping all over the place, you know? And I thought, okay, nurses don't stand in front of heart monitors. If she's standing in front of the heart monitor, I'm standing there. And so we stood there pretty much all night long. And I just remember praying for her. And in the middle of the night, one of my friends sent me a song that she sings. It was just that, but we're going to sit at the table of the Lord. And when we sit there, it's going to be good. And it was just the encouragement we needed over and over throughout all those times. People reached out to us and brought things to her and just did things for us that we had no expectation for. And out of the blue, God's family was ministering to us, you know, and allowed us to rest in Him. I can't even describe all the ways that people have ministered to us over the years and allowed us to rest. And the fact that it's not what we want, it's not what we would choose, but God is there with us.
And to speak to that, I mean, to have multiple organs removed, they get you up the next day. They do not let you rest. They get you in the chair. And it is not something I would wish on anybody because it is a thing. The only would keep me calm and like get my mind off pain was hymnals. Music has always like spoken to me, and God bless John Woods. He sent me a bunch of the choir tour songs that those would play, and my little self would randomly join in, but it really did help keep me calm and restful during a time when it could have been a lot worse and a lot different.
One's laying there, and I mean, she's on all kinds of pain meds, and I was just playing this, put this little soundtrack for her, and it was so funny because I think she's asleep, and then out of the blue, she would start singing like her chapel choir part of the song. And, you know, singing scripture, even when she is out of her mind, I always tell people that you don't have any idea. I just always tell people they need to put their kids in chapel choir. The legacy that chapel choir has is one of faithfulness. John is so intentional about what he presents to the children, and they're learning so many scriptures as they learn because they're singing them. And you don't know when that's going to come back into their mind. And because when they've learned it as a song, it just comes back up. And I just think that everybody's child, whether they're a singer or not, should be involved in that chapel choir experience. We had three children participate in that. And I can't tell you the benefits that is for all children.
Yeah, both of mine participated and certainly second your recommendation. And what when you're talking about scripture and you're talking about music and the scripture that very often part of Dawson music, whether it's chapel choir or sanctuary choir, that lends itself to this idea that scripture is living and active. And even though you were kind of out of it on pain meds, what was happening in your brain was scripture. How do you feel like Jesus invites you to bigger and better relationship with Him through scripture? And what it looked like and how you've learned it from your mom and your dad?
Well, from the young age, we would do scriptures from those story picture Bibles to learning it and scripture seekers and doing those sort of activities and then also incentivizing us to learn scripture. Just not knowing like the reason why, like I didn't necessarily understand why it was so important to memorize. And even till this day, my mom and I will pick a verse and we will memorize it together, having that. And then just thinking about my grandparents, my grandmothers, they're both very good at the scripture and like praying intentionally and how they use scripture within their lives and always knowing they always seem to have something good to say and how they're able to point me to the Bible and point me to an example. The Bible is full of good examples of things they're going through because I'm not locked up in a Roman prison cell, but it's something difficult that I'm going through. And even if it is a very different situation, the scripture really speaks to me. It's also something that's calming to me. I have this book called Breath Prayer, Calm Your Anxiety, Focus Your Mind, and Renew Your Soul. And it's very intentionally using scripture. And I have some of my favorite parts. It's like, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Psalms 139, 23, 24. I really lean heavily on the Psalms often because I think the Psalms, you see the anger, you see the sadness, you see everything. I mean, the primary author was David, and see how it's still living today because I do want those parts of me pointed out that I can continue to work on and continue to rest in and see how scripture really does in matching it and how it really does calm your physiological self too. Not only your spiritual self, but it could also calm those physiological symptoms that you may experience when difficulties are entering. And it also is just a good practice to keep up. Because one habit I did have, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at this now, was when things would get good, I would not necessarily continue my practices of like doing it. And it even improves my days when I'm having a good day.
Beth, Rachel mentioned that y'all were very intentional about teaching scripture. How do you personally kind of make sure that you stay anchored? Because I think as a parent, it would be real easy to be so focused on her and her needs and your other daughters and their needs. How do you make sure that scripture is living and active for you first before you're a mom and before you're a wife?
Well,
I can remember her getting up at the crack of dawn and in our white chair that we were only allowed in on birthdays. We were only allowed in it on birthdays, and she would be down there with her Bible doing stuff, and we were not allowed to talk to her, which was very difficult.
You know, that changes throughout your life. You know,
right.
It looks different. When I was staying home and when the kids were little, I did that early in the morning, you know, and then I went back to work and mornings are crazy, right? And so then I tried to do that at night. And so I would do it right before I went to bed sometimes. And then you got teenagers and they're up late and they want to talk to you at like a low. So it's changed. No, I've done it on my lunch hour. I mean, and that has changed, and it's not always looked perfect and it's not always looked great. Lately, I've found this little app. It's called the Bible app, and I did the Bible recap. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that the last couple of years because I never fooled with that Bible app a lot. I had it on my phone so I could pull something up like when I wanted to know, but I hadn't done it. And then I started doing the Bible recap. But through that, I discovered they have what they call a daily refresh on there. And they have a little Bible verse, and then they have a video, and they have a devotional, and then they have a prayer, kind of a guided prayer time that usually sort of sometimes when I just need a kickstart, right? And I really have discovered that just for like just a devotional, like when you just need a moment to get going, you know, I've really used that the last, the last couple of years. I've used it a good bit because it's on my phone, can do it whenever that window of time is there. I mean, now that all the kids are gone, my time is more my own again. And so I can do some things like that. But it's really, but even like if I, like I can open it at school if I need a moment. I just started a new thing with Max Lucado. It's like a year with Jesus. And so it has been really interesting. And I've just started that. I'm better if I have something I'm following, you know? Like whether it's a book or an app or a, I do better if I have something that I'm following along with. It's better for me.
It's a prayer journal because I specifically, and it has a section of my worries, my praises, my prayers, and God's promises. It's like sectioned out, and that has been helpful because it's not just my mind trying to attempt to figure out what in the world to write. And
right.
It also points out my praises, which I think is another really important tool. You can really focus on the negative, but there's a lot of good that comes out of it that points towards the door again, and it slowly points back to God.
So the third invitation that we want to touch on is the invitation to abide. And it strikes me that both of you are in professional situations and job situations where it could be hard, but both of you have opportunities in your work to certainly to serve and to minister in maybe unique ways. So what does it look like for you to abide with Jesus, meaning to stay connected to him throughout your day, in all the different ways that you're working with other people and ministering to other people in your jobs?
So being really intentional, if it's just rocking and humming to a little foster child that is in the hospital, and then just trying to be very conscientious of my actions. I often get questions what Alabama's like, and explaining just like how I grew up, which is sometimes very different than how some of my coworkers growing up, and answering faithfully questions and being very honest of like why I believe what I believe and those kind of things, but still always showing up with God's love. My place is just to share what I know is true and just to be very faithful and really think about my actions and being very intentional with each interaction. And so it's like little signs like that. And then just trying to be really intentional with my actions.
How are you able to, you said you're kind of an anxious person, but how are you able to sort of calm others' anxiety?
It's something that I feel very called to. I really feel a pull towards those anxious families that are going through really difficult times because I come from a place of understanding. I don't bring in my own personal story because that is not my place, and it's important to keep that child's experiences. So by calming them, by validating their experience that, yes, this does hurt and this is why, but here's what I can do for you and here are your options. We don't have an option about our medicine we can take. And I understand why that makes you anxious because it makes us feel icky. But here's what we can do instead. And using the distraction tools and being intentional with those interactions and validating their feelings. Because if you come in a place of, oh, it's just a shot. Oh, you're just getting an IV. It really can increase that anxiety of something you may think is little, and just continually validating those families' feelings, because all feelings in those stressful times are valid, and just recognizing that families react differently to different stimuli and different stressful events.
I like that.
Talking about abiding in Christ, part of that is like watching growing up, I watched my parents abide in Christ in their jobs. You know, I watched them use, they were both educators, and I watched them use those platforms and to live a life every day that was honoring to God, you know, and even sometimes when you're not using your words, how you treat people matters, and how you treat every single person matters. God, if man in general is made in God's image, then that means that every child that walks through your door is made in the image of God and has certain rights and a right to expect from me love and safety and kindness, regardless of what their beliefs are or what their things are. That doesn't excuse us from our obligation to the Lord to treat his creation in a way that is kind and loving. You know, so I think that just watching my parents deal with things like that all through their lives and watching my parents give of themselves and, you know, give of our resources and seeing my mother and daddy do that just kind of showed me, like, sort of set a benchmark that you want to reach.
I love that. That's beautiful.
I agree to that because I saw how my mom works with certain situations, and you don't necessarily agree with actions to show somebody kindness because, again, God did make them. And you can still love on them and still point your way to Christ.
Absolutely. I love that, Beth, you said you saw that in your parents who were educators. And Rachel, although it's not something you would choose, you're going to have a sort of perspective in your career because of what you've gone through with your own health challenges. And even though you don't necessarily speak to them specifically with certain families or certain kids, you do know what they're dealing with. You do know what their feelings are. I love that the parallel there that, you know, Christ has given you, he's equipped you, not necessarily in a way you would choose to be equipped. And Beth, he's kind of done the same for you and showing you those things through your parents.
Yeah, I think about Rachel. One of the things I pray for her every day when she's heading out is that she has a unique opportunity. Her life intersects with some of people's worst days. I mean, when your children are sick, I mean, does it get worse than that? For a child who is at the hospital and has nobody there. And she has this unique opportunity to intersect with people on their very worst days. And she can be the hands and feet of Jesus every single day. And I just think that that's a really special thing that her particular profession offers her that is really neat. And I tell her a lot, I'm like, you know, I'm just praying for you today for Jesus to show you, you know, where his hands, where he's working, and you just join him there. I am kind of parroting Henry Blackaby, but for her to be aware of where he's working and, right, you know, and just allow him to use her because she has a really, really incredible opportunity every single day. Honestly, we probably all have that same opportunity. Right?
Absolutely.
We intersect with people's lives all the time. You know, I think one thing that COVID really taught me was that you have no idea when somebody, when you say, how are you doing? And they say, I'm fine. You have no idea what that means. You know, that may mean my nose is above the waterline.
Exactly.
Or it may mean I'm fine. I'm really good. But you don't know. And so to just always, as much as we can, to give us the benefit of the doubt, because nobody knows. I mean, she was so sick. No, I mean, I would spend the night at the hospital and go straight to work. And I mean, you know, you don't go in saying all that, right? And it just kind of reinforced to me that you people say, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. But you don't know what that means. And you really need to just be kind always. If we can, I want to be.
So, sure.
Since Rachel has been a little girl, the verse that I have prayed for her says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of Jesus Christ, right? So in everything that has happened to her, and sometimes I'm better at it and sometimes I'm not so great at it, you know, but I try to remember that he is going to be faithful to complete the work of Christ in her life, and that that's his job to complete the work and not my job. You know, that I heard of something a couple of weeks ago that says you can't protect your children from their testimony. You know, you don't want to get in God's way. And so just that Christ has been faithful to her and he will be faithful to her. That's his promise to her, that he will be faithful.
And it's his promise to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To all of us that he's going to be faithful.
Have you ever been where Rachel was, where she says, I had no other option than to surrender? And what about Beth, when she shared that her ability to rest has grown because as she's seen God be faithful, it's become easier to rest in him? Everywhere you are today, we pray that you take advantage of the unique opportunities God has given you to reflect him in the lives of the people you encounter.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Everywhere You Are. Please rate and review us on your podcast platform and share us with other women that you think could benefit from hearing about God working in the lives of ordinary women. To learn more about the Dawson Family of Faith, please visit dawsonchurch.org and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We look forward to meeting you.